Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? No longer will I let you clowns out to trick me. They wanna lock me up, they wanna Michael Vick me. Give me a government order vaccine, make me sickly. This world is not what it seems, have officer.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to the best internet program in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the 8 o'clock hour. We're in for a great time this morning. You heard our intro song, Are You Ready? Are you ready to face the challenges of life here? Are you ready to make a difference? I'm so glad that we have men and women that are standing in the gap, men and women that are attempting to make a difference in the life of the community, men and women that are holding up the bloodstained banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a religious program, but yet we touch it on all areas of life here, because the Bible said that the word of God is life. And what more should we try to strengthen our brother? The scripture said that when you are restored, you are to strengthen your brother. I mean, you got to take this matter personal. You got to get involved. And I'm happy to say that we have a young lady that's heavily involved in the life of other young ladies. And she's attempting to make a difference through her 501(c) nonprofit ministry. We have Wanda McKinley. She's a survivor of domestic violence. She's also the founder of a nonprofit organization called We Are Survivors. And at this time, without any further delay, we'd like to introduce you to Miss Wanda. Good morning, Miss Wanda.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the program. Oh, this is a hot topic that you brought to us this morning here. Introduce yourself and tell us about your ministry, and then we're going to give some numbers regarding domestic violence.
Yes. My name is Wanda McKinley, and like you said, I am the founder of We Are Survivors. My ministry actually deals with women of domestic violence, women and children. I am a survivor of domestic violence from the age of 7 to 18, my biological father and my stepfather raped me. And then at age 19, I met my very abusive husband. And when I was married from 19 to 31, I was financially abused, emotional, physical, sexual. He just controlled every aspect of my life. So God gave me my purpose in life about 2 years ago to be transparent. By being transparent, I will be able to help women that are walking in my shoes or have walked in my shoes, to let women know that you don't have to be a victim, that you could be a survivor and gain your control back, take your life back from whomever it may be that has taken a hold of you. So every day, every minute, hour, my thoughts, my drive is to let women know that there is help and that there are resources and that they can overcome their situation.
Hey, man, that's quite a challenge, and thank you for taking that up. You know, we're no stranger to domestic violence. I'm talking about society as a whole. We have relatives that we say, oh, well, let it go, let it pass, it'll be okay. But you know better. You know that it will not be okay.
Yes.
Because the violence keeps escalating.
It does. And not only does it keep escalating, you have to deal with it. What people don't realize is the internal abuse, the internal emotions that they don't see on the outside. I've had people come up to me and say, but you don't look like what you've gone through, but you can't see what's going on the inside. You don't see my heart. You don't see my feelings, my emotions. So to tell someone to just get over it or it'll pass, you have no idea what you're doing to that person internally.
Yeah, and then trying to dismiss it, saying do not report this thing, that's a heinous crime. That's a heinous crime that's been perpetrated on an innocent victim, you know, because after all, the abusee is the one that's being provoked all the time.
Yes.
And now, also, now, what is, based on your experience, what are some of the telltale signs of being abused? I know it's difficult to pinpoint those things, but what is, based on your experience?
Well, one thing is, women think it's really cute when their significant other acts like they're jealous. And initially, it'll come off really playful, and we receive it as, oh, he really does love me, or he really does care. That can also be a sign that what's to come further down the line. Because if they're playfully being possessive, it's going to grow and become very aggressive, where you really can't go anywhere or you really can't talk to anybody. So it's things that women think are cute in the beginning. The questioning, like, where are you going? Where were you? Or even when you wear something that you may think is appropriate and they may say, well, no, what about this? Or it's from your hair to your nail color. It's little bitty things like that that women be like, oh, he's so into me, or he's paying attention to me, that may not necessarily be what the case is. So sometimes things that women take as compliments, or, like I said, little things that show that he cares, is just signs of what's to come.
Okay.
Because they actually, a lot of abusers, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead, because I like what you're
saying. I was going to say, a lot of abusers, what they do is, like, when a fisherman goes fishing, and, you know, they put the bait and throw it out. And I've never been fishing. I've watched it on TV. But what they do is they dangle the bait in the water to see what they can catch. And that's what abusers do. They see how far they can go initially. And then once you've passed that test, then the next test is, okay, well, let me see what I can do next. So it's all about them fishing to see what you're going to accept. And like I said, women not paying attention to how the signs are being presented. Every time he throws that reel out, we bite. And then they reel it in and say, oh, okay, okay, she'll handle this part, and then as time goes on, it goes and it grows and it grows to the point where you don't even realize everything that you've accepted. So a lot of abusers, it's like a game.
Okay, and I hear you saying it's kind of like a control factor too. You know, we're going down to the clothes and the phone calls and even your friends and you know, co-workers, things of that nature. You know, they want to control every aspect of your life.
Right.
You know, as I was doing some research on domestic violence, and I see that it has reported that it's 4 to 7 million reported cases of domestic violence a year. Those are reported cases. Can you imagine how many that hadn't been reported?
Probably double that. Because women are afraid to come forth.
Right, because they have so much at stake, living conditions, family, because when you start reporting, they say, I want the kids, I want the house, things of that nature, things that can tend to hold you hostage.
Yes.
Okay, now, if someone feel like they've been abused, know someone been abused, what kind of information, resources do they have? Say, hey, girl, call this number and talk to someone.
Well, for starters, they can actually reach out and call me. And my number is 214-734-2395. I do know some cases where women are uncomfortable with calling. So my email address is all together. It's wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. Just if the person themselves, but if you know someone that is being abused and they are afraid to step out. A lot of times, family members and friends can help. So if just call or email, like I said, the phone number is 214-734-2395, or an email, we are survivorsfoundation@gmail.com.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And if when they reach out, what kind of assistance or information can be given? I know every case is different, but what are some of the things? Just so our listening audience can say, hey, I need to hear this. I need to be involved in something like this.
Well, one thing that we do is guide people for legal assistance. As far as depending on, like you said, each case is different. If you're looking for help with divorce, we have an attorney that we actually can work with that her specialty is domestic violence, and she's also a survivor, which helps out a lot because you have someone that can actually understand what you're feeling and what you're going through. We do have God-fearing Christians that are part of our board of directors that will sit down and talk to you. We do have a counselor and pray for you, give that spiritual guidance that a lot of other domestic violence places really don't offer. And we do have resources as far as getting you help trying to find housing. I am connected with a young woman that also has a nonprofit organization. And being a part of the community and knowing, unfortunately, Dallas County, one of the things that is breaks my heart is the limitation on beds for women that need it. So that's another thing that we are survivors is doing is raising money because we also want to provide a transitional home and a shelter because it's needed in Dallas County. There are not enough beds. And when I call, I have a situation where I had to call to find someone a bed. There were only two left in the entire Dallas County. So we will work diligently hard to help that woman in any way possible.
All right. Hey, I'm looking at the website here saying domestic violence, and I'm going to share with you what the definition is, and you can kind of piggyback off of it. It said domestic violence referred to any form of violence by intimate partner or other family members, regardless of the place in which the violence takes place. Other term that can be used for domestic violence is domestic abuse, spousal abuse, and family violence, and intimate partner's violence. You know, a lot of times we say, well, you have to be married. But I see here just if you're dating someone, it comes, you know, you can have, you know, have some protection against that. That's what I'm saying.
What I have found out, and it's just really unfortunate, that domestic violence is in the schools. It's in junior high, as early as junior high. It's really running rapid in high school. One of my board members is a teacher in one of the districts, the suburb districts, and she was explaining to me that it is so bad that the teenagers themselves are in violent relationships. But one thing that people, which is really what I'm trying to really focus on, is we're going to help the women, but what happens is the children that come along with those women, they get overlooked. The thing is, we want to put the children, you know, make sure they have a place to lay their head. We want to, you know, make sure they can eat and go to school. But what about that emotional feeling that that child is going on? What about what that child has witnessed? And because no one is sitting back saying, okay, let's also focus on that child, the child is going to repeat what they see. So you have children that are coming from violent homes. When they go to school and when they're in a relationship, they're going to repeat what they see. And that's something that is so dear to my heart because, yes, an intimate relationship can be boyfriend and girlfriend of all ages. It doesn't have to just be that adult. And society focuses on adults.
Yes, it's so true. Now, based on your knowledge, what can we do as a society, as religious men and women that's, you know, that's sold out for our Christian faith, to do to kind of offset this here domestic violence in our community and in our school?
One thing is to pray about it. You know, put God first. and not try to, if you haven't walked in the individual's shoes, a lot of times just human nature, you know, we want to say, I understand. But if you have not, that is one thing from a survivor. For someone who's never experienced it, you can't tell that person you understand. The best thing would be is to really to be honest and be like, okay, I don't understand, but I'm here to help you. And just have an open heart. Don't be judgmental. The question is that really I hate to hear is, well, why did you stay so long? Because everyone's situation is different. Everybody's reasons are different. That is the wrong question. For a Christian, I just want people to be open-hearted and be there for support and ask questions as, what can I do to help, versus asking them or a person, why did you stay? Well, girl, why didn't you come to some, those types of questions is going to push someone further back, because if it's like we're threatened again, instead of holding your hand out, reaching out for someone to pull them in, you can put your hand up and push them back further based on what you're asking them and your language, the words. It's very careful with your word usage.
Amen.
A lot of people don't realize that verbally. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing that there. We'll listen to Wanda McKinley. She's the founder of We Are Survivors, Organization for Domestic Violence. You two can join in the conversation. The number is 310-982-4126. Again, the number is 310-982-4126. You two can call in and join the conversation, even ask some questions regarding this topic in which we're discussing today. Now, Ms. Wanda, now, as you've been involved in something, things like this, you know, tell us some good points out of this here, because some women have been involved in it and then they got out of it. Give us a testimony of how programs like yours and ministry like yours have changed the lives of some women.
Well, for me, God protected me through my journey. Everyone's journey is so different. But what I want women to know is, no matter what path that you're on, that path leads to God. And I know for me and a lot of other women that I know are survivors, prayer, we all know prayer is just, oh my goodness, it opens doors, it heals, it strengthens,
yes.
And it gives you an insight that without it you wouldn't have. And even though my journey started so young, I know that for me, God protected me from a lot of the pain. And being a young child, sometimes you don't really understand what's right from wrong. And as a child of abuse, when it's being done by someone that you are close to or you love, it could really be confusing. But for me, as a survivor, I explain to women that you're not alone. First of all, a lot of women that are going through abuse and children, they think they're alone. They think no one's going to understand them. They're going to think they're going to be talked about. They are ashamed. Ashamed is such a big word. And we have to realize that there are people out here that want to help, that there are resources, that individuals really care about someone else. There are really human beings that really care about how someone else feels or how someone else's emotional status is, how stable they are. And I just want women and children to know not to be silent. Children are taught, and it's like drilled in your head, do not say anything. They get threats. So a child is scared into being quiet. But I want people to know that silence should be no more.
Oh, that is
that
so
people,
true. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, people, there are people really out here and resources. and great programs that really will help a woman and her children.
Oh, that is great. Well put, well put. Now, the title of this program is called Free on the Inside. Will you express to our listening audience the freedom that you have and that you receive as you work this program, you work this ministry, and you're able to make an impact and a difference in the lives of the women in which is associated with this program? Our theme is Help Change a Life. Will you share with us the freedom that you get from coming from doing something like what you do now?
I give God all the glory, because when I speak to someone, if I'm in front of an audience, if I'm on the phone, if I'm in a counseling session, the first thing I do is pray for God to put the right words. Because for me being a survivor, I am so concerned about making sure that I'm giving them what they need and not pushing them further back. I'm praying that God leads me through word of mouth to reach an individual so that they know that it is okay. I spoke at a Juneteenth celebration in Box Springs, and I prayed to God before I went up on the stage, and I was only up there a very short period of time. But this woman came to me. When I came down, she just simply said, "Thank you, and can I please have a business card?" And before I went up there, I said, "God, if I just touch one person, I've done what you asked me to do." So for me, I just give God all the glory. It's not about me. It's just God working through me to bring as many women close to Him, close to healing, and to build women up. And together, we can together change lives. Together, we can free people. Just everyone praying together to hear God's voice so that we can then inform other women and bring them in closer to Him.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. You know, as you were sharing, I was thinking about the scripture, that once you restore to strengthen your brother, but then it also said, what would you have me to do? You know, another portion of scripture. After we've been through the difficulties and the challenges of life, and we know that God is on our side, and God kept us and walked with us and held us up, and then we said, Lord, what would you have me to do with this experience that I just got out of this experience I'm in? Because sometimes we can be in ministry and involved, and you know, and be embedded in a whole host of difficult things. But you know, that's what brings about that ministry, because we stand on God's word. We're not doing it on our own. We're doing it on the power, through the power of God. So thank you.
All right.
Thank you for sharing that, because as we know that we said, help change a life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God, but God uses us to be hands. He wants us to be His hands, His eyes, and His feet, because your ministry have allowed you to travel to some places. Share with us the place that you have been in the ministry, because it's been God ordered your steps.
Yes. And it's, my God, I can't do anything without Him. And for me, I get my joy from seeing what He's doing through me. Every day I wake up and I say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? I'm excited every day I get up, because every day God is bringing different women to me, and different walks of life. I've spoken to gospel recording artists this week that I probably would have never even talked to if it wouldn't have been for this journey. I've met so many strong women, and it's beautiful the things that He's doing, and for the situations that these women are in, just touching lives every single day. I look forward to what He has in store for We Are Survivors, because it's not Wanda, it's Him.
Amen, amen. And you were sharing that. I was thinking about how Esther was brought to the palace, you know, and she got to be the queen, and then she didn't want to do it. And her uncle said, "Hey, Esther, you know, for such a time as this, you were brought here." You know, we never know, because of what you went through, it was such a time as that allowed other women to share their difficult than they struggles, and allows you to go before people mm-hmm. that you say you would never ever met because of what you went through for such a time as this. And guess what? Elsa took up the challenge, and I share that you have too. Thank you for doing what you do for the kingdom. You know, some ladies' lives are going to be changed. Some families are going to have a little sense of assurance that they're not in this alone. You know, we could go before God and pray, but then as we but God going to send people in our lives and say, okay, you know, pray on it. Now, here, call this number up here. We are survivors, and talk to someone that's connected with God. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Now,
thank you so much.
Well, great. Hey, this has been a great interview. You know, I'd like to have you to come back again. But I tell you what, you know, you're not a stranger to this Blog Talk Network, and you have a place here on Blog Talk Radio that's coming up here next month on the 2nd of July, and you're going to host your own show. Tell us about your show and what our listening audience can expect from We Are Survival program on Blog Talk.
I want to thank you all first for the opportunity. I'm excited, have a lot of nervous energy, because once again, once I pick up the phone and we're live, I'll first and foremost pray to God for the right words. The show will be a show for women, empowering women, educating women, just letting them know resources that are out there, things that are going on in the community, ways that they can come out and help and support. It'll be financial shows, everything that a woman goes through day to day. If you want a cooking tip, just we're going to be talking about uplifting women, us as a whole. And I want women to listen to the show. And as they listen to the show, I picture in my mind like women standing on stairs. And there's one woman that's down on the bottom step and women that are reaching down to grab that woman up. I just want women to be strengthened and grow in one another, because for whatever reason, a lot of times women try and tear other women down to step over to get to the top of where they're trying to go, and not really realize that that same person that you're stepping on, you may need them. So I really want to help women change their mindset, and like I said, not be that judgmental sister, but to be that sister that is going to help someone else grow, step up, and not be that one that wants to push someone down. So we're going to be talking about everything that involves a strong Christian woman, be it a survivor of domestic violence, a survivor of breast cancer. Survivor can go and that can mean so many things. A survivor of debt. You know, you can be a survivor. You can be an overcomer of so many things. It doesn't necessarily have to be domestic violence.
All right. Now, give us the hours and the days and what and the program. So our listeners all can tune in to your first program. I'll be listening.
Why, thank you. The name of the program is called We Are Survivors, and it will be every Thursday evening from 6 to 7, starting July 2nd.
6 to 7, great, an hour, and the call-in number is the same as this. You can call in on this show, and we're encouraging our listening audience to listen in, call in, give your thoughts and opinion regarding that topic. She's not creating any new topics on the spot, so stick with the topic that's given. And also, if you know anyone that's suffering or involved in domestic violence, please refer them to Ms. Wonder and that ministry, We Are Survivors, to let them get some help. And let God do his thing. Let God do his thing. You know, we never know the things that are presented to us, but God always make a way of escape. I always have men and women that's standing in the gap. We're not in this alone. I get up every morning and I get up on Saturday morning and do this program. I'm not alone. Everything I do, I'm not alone. I do jail ministry. I'm not alone. You know, so sometimes we think that we're the only one involved. But Wonder said, no, you're not the only one. You could be a survivor and unite with other survivors. So give us that contact number once again.
It's 214-734-2395.
Great.
And then the email address.
Okay, go ahead.
Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com.
Great. We have one call on the line. We're going to see if they have anything to say regarding this topic, and then we're going to dismiss you from here.
Okay.
Mr. Daniel, you're on the net with Miss Wanda, founder of We All Survive. You have any questions for her?
No, right now, but I'd like to congratulate her for completing a show. It's a well-put project that's very well needed.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Hold on there.
Thank you.
All right, Miss Water, you got your one listener already. God bless you. Hey, we have another guest that's coming up here, Miss Wanda. So if you have an opportunity, just listen in. Who knows, it may be a blessing to your ministry. But again, we want to thank you for coming on, and we're looking forward to our long relationship at Blog Talk Radio and also in the ministry, because I do have a passion, but mine is different from yours. But we all serving the same, going in the same direction, serving the same God. I'm going to do the jail, street, and prison ministry, and we know women from domestic violence, they find themselves involved in legal, legal struggles, and sometimes they go to jail and things of that nature. So we all are on the same path in life. So thank you very much. And wait a minute, we have one more call. We want to answer the call before we get you out of here.
Okay.
Good morning, you're on the net. Mr. Flemings, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. We have Miss Wanda on the line. You have something to say to her before we get her off the line?
Well, I'm excited about what she's doing and want to encourage her and sharing her story and her testimony, because there are so many people who are struggling in the area of domestic violence. And, it's so unfortunate that oftentimes the victims are the ones who are put in a position of being ashamed and embarrassed, or even made to feel as if somehow they're responsible for their situation. So by sharing her story, that in itself is a victory, and it encourages others to stand up and to do the same thing. And, there's a lot of emphasis today, a lot more awareness in the area of domestic violence, and a lot more support. So I certainly am encouraged and committed to do whatever I can to assist in eradicating, not reducing, but eradicating, getting rid of violence and the stigma associated with domestic violence. So congratulations, Ms. Wanda, and if there's anything I and the organizations that I represent can do, you can certainly call us, and we will work with you and support you in whatever way we can.
Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you. All right, great. Well, thank you, that one, for being a guest on the program. We're looking forward to listening in on your show on Thursday night from 6 to 7. And we also going to encourage other women that we meet in the ministry to tune in and get some advice regarding all areas of life, because we know that God, He's over everything we do, from the finances to home life to health, wealth, and even in cooking. It's a nutritional thing, too. We got to keep ourselves healthy for the journey.
Yes.
So I think you're on to something now. So thank you very much, and God bless you. What a great show we have. We're looking forward to you coming back at a later date.
Thank you.
God bless you. Enjoy your day. Stay tuned.
God bless you, too.
Thank
you.
Yes. All right. God
yes,
bless
sir.
You. Yes, sir. Good morning. All right, what a great time we had there, Miss Wanda McKinley, the founder of We Are Survivors, a domestic violence ministry for women that have been in a domestic violence situation. And she gave us some contact number. And please go back and listen to this show again and get those numbers. But also, she's coming on the 2nd of July from 6 to 7. And our shows are archived, so you have no reason not to listen to it. So, I can't listen, but you can listen to it later. And the beauty of it being on the internet, you can dial up off your cell phone and you can listen to the program. And then you can listen to it over and over and over until you get this thing right and then pass it on. But now we're in for another great time here. We have our guest on the line right now, Minister Flemings. He's going to come on and tell us about the financial workshop they're having over at Zion Chapel Church here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we'd like to welcome him aboard. Good morning, Minister Flemings.
Good morning, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming over. And you know what? I'm excited about this financial workshop. You know what? I'm telling you a secret. Sometimes I struggle with money, man. Sometimes I can't seem to make things work. Sometimes I'm not making the right investment. But I'm glad that God helped me and say, hey, Joel, do it this way. To point me in the right direction.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so
amen.
Talk to us about it. Encourage me that I have control over my finances. Because sometimes I think my finances control me.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I specifically address the workshop, I want to acknowledge that, you know, that sometimes we fail in recognizing some of the factors or causes behind the rising poverty level that we're experiencing, not only here in the Metroplex, but across the country. And, you know, in many instances, it's due to a lack of knowledge or resources. But sometimes situations such as Ms. Wanda also plays a significant part. Men who are involved in domestic violence, one of the things that they do is to try to keep the female dependent upon them, especially as it pertains to money and finances.
Yes.
Because by limiting their knowledge and their access to financial resources, they can keep the victim entrapped in that situation. So if we talk about helping people break yokes and to be free, then we have to help them to increase in knowledge and the ability to acquire and manage the resources that they need to attain the freedom that's available in Christ Jesus. And so when women are coming out of those domestic violence situations, it's imperative that they are able to establish a life for themselves and for their children when kids are involved. And you can't get away from the need for financial resources. And so workshops like ours are happening all across America, especially here in North Texas. We have the Mayor's Anti-Poverty Coalition, just looking at what has happened over the last 40 years, where Dallas, which is one of the major metropolitan hubs in the country, but also the fourth largest urban area in the nation in terms of poverty among its people. And it doesn't make sense to be living in a city that has so many billionaires and millionaires, yet the majority of the people are decreasing in their financial resources and the ability to meet their daily needs. And so we're looking at some of those factors. One of those factors are places like these payday loans and title places, oftentimes referred to as predatory lenders, who recognize
that's terrible.
And we have victims, their resources are limited. And I'm talking about your human resources, the people that you can go to for support, which includes sometimes financial help as you're transitioning from a place of abuse and impoverishment to a place of abundance. And so these predatory lenders offer our service and resources that are sorely needed, but at this ungodly and unrighteous usury fees and prices. And so it continues this cycle of poverty and degradation. So we here at Zion are committed, as the city of Dallas is to addressing that. And so we believe that empowering individuals and families with the knowledge necessary to maximize the resources that God has made available so that we can help people achieve financial success. When people have the knowledge and the resources, they can make not only good decisions for themselves, but implement strategies and plans to actually begin to move forward in such a way that they have hope, not just for today, for tomorrow. So we've been looking at and partnering with a variety of organizations, both, you know, private and public, nonprofit and for-profit, in order to determine how we can form appropriate coalitions to begin to provide learning opportunities and other resources that people need that will help them in their lives. So this workshop is a combination of that. You know, we have partnered with New York Life Insurance Company, which is a major company, to provide a workshop, not just by our church or our economic development and for just this day, but it's available for all churches and nonprofits who want to empower people. And we call it a blueprint for financial success. And it's for people who understand the need to build a strong financial foundation. Because it's just like anything else. Before you can start constructing something, you must have a foundation or a platform by which you can what? Build and stand.
Oh, that is so true, brother. That is so true, you know. And Mike, you know, as you were sharing that there with us, man, sometimes we think we're to the point of, you know, we are mature that it's too late to grab hold to our finances, man. We say, well, I've been in this so long, can I ever get out of this? But you're saying we can.
Oh, it's no doubt about it. You know, I don't care how deep the hole is or how high the mountain may be, there is a power that's available to all people, and especially to those in the body of Christ. Because we can do all things, but to do it requires, first of all, knowing. And so we as a church are responsible. You know, the word light is used throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, because we have the light of Christ. He was the light of the world, and therefore he has commissioned us to be a light. And light is always representative of knowledge. Darkness.
And that's so true. You know, Mike, yeah. I just smiled a little bit there because you said just go out and have that knowledge. And, you know, sometimes we just have to do it. You know, the first step to financial freedom is just doing it. You put a plan together, you take it up off the paper, and do it. You know, that's what that came about. We said, well, I prayed on it. I got it all in right, but I'll work on it next week. Now I implement it next week. Now you need to start today. And I like what you were saying, though. And I heard you say, man, we got to do it. You got to make it, you know, pick it up off the paper and apply it.
Right. And, you know, God's word says that to whom much is given, much is required.
Oh, so
yes. You're right.
That's so true.
We do seek God in prayer, and we're praying that God will help us to recognize that he has already endowed us with power. Okay? But power without knowledge is like fire without heat. You can't cook anything. You can't
practice
anything. You know,
and that's so true. That's so true, Mike. I know a lot of ministries, man. They got it all going on words and stuff, but deeds and action, they got like dead in the water. You know, you read their resume, man. You say, hey, I got you. I know what you're about, but after you get involved in it, you'll see that it ain't about anything. And that breaks our heart. It breaks God's heart too. Because God tells us, hey, go out and do these things. You know, he said, after you get up and pray, you know, you got to get up and do them. Jesus, after he prayed, he got up and said, nevertheless, and went on and took care of his father's business. Yeah, nevertheless, this thing ain't working out. Nevertheless, it don't look right. But I'm going to do it anyway because God is on my side. You got to have a nevertheless in your finances.
Well, you know, for people to be able to put something in action requires them to know what to do. And that means that there has to be some teaching and some education process. And
yes,
who better than the church to be the vehicle for empowering people? Because that's what we're called to do. For instance, I know that all your efforts are aimed at helping people to realize the life that they have in Christ, to be free on the inside. And that's so powerful because oftentimes we are held captive, not so much by the forces outside of us, but those things within us.
Is that, yes, so true.
If we can't perceive something, then we can't achieve it. Okay?
Yeah, and
it begins in the mind. Okay?
You said something there, bro.
Yes. And so you're about empowering people by helping them recognize the unlimited potential that resides in them. And then we have to help them to learn how to tap into that. So our workshop is aimed at providing a blueprint, which means the steps. Okay, we've been telling you that you can do all things in Christ. We're telling you that you have a Father who owns cattle on a thousand hills, that all these things are available to you. But sometimes we don't do a very good job of teaching people how to. Okay, we may give people a flyer or a workshop or a book or something that talks about other people's success and what they did. But really, we're going to talk about what do you need to do and how you do it with what you have. Because God will not give you more.
And that is so true. That is so true. Because I tell young guys in the juvenile, I said, now insert your name in there where it says so-and-so. Put your name there. You know, you work this thing out yourself. I like what you said, because we will. Yeah. We'll tell everybody, you know, what other people are doing, but what can you do? You know, you can do great things. Jesus even said, hey, you're going to do greater things than us. I got to thinking about that, Mike. How am I going to give a blind man sight? Not so much as a physical sight, but a spiritual sight. Because sometimes we're blind. We have a spiritual blindness, man. And God said, hey, I could give you that, you know, let them see the light. How can I give a lame man strength to walk? Not physically walking, but a spiritual walking. Be able to walk over the thing that held him hostage, the addiction, the loneliness, the frustration, the abuse, man. Get a strength to walk away from those things. You know, how can I open up a deaf man's ear? Maybe by hearing, let him hear the word of God, man. Doing his finances, doing relationships. You know, brother, you're onto something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned sometimes how you've had struggles in the past. Well, you know, I don't think there's anybody who's breathing who has not had at some point in time in their life issues or struggles around financing. The struggles are God's way of helping us to learn and recognize where we're not only strong, but where we're weak. Okay? Because until you confront it with an issue or a challenge, with issues related to success and survival, then you don't know what your needs are. And so we know what our needs are, that you can't live the abundant life of Christ, broke and struggling and living from paycheck to paycheck and spending every dollar or every penny that you get. If you don't cast your bread upon the water, lay some aside, and plan for the future, then you're always living from day to day, and that's not what Christ died for us to obtain. So in our blueprint for financial success, we will actually be exploring the basics of building financial security. Okay, what do you do? What are the things that need to be put in place? For instance, most people don't understand that there is a major difference, a significant difference between wealth and income. Income is what you work hard to get and can also be fleeting and quickly taken. Wealth are the assets, the things that you purchase with your income that begin to increase in value and begin to work alongside you to generate income and capital. So we talk about that. We talk about what things do you purchase. We talk about the timing of making those purchases. Because when you work hard, then you must acquire the assets with your hard-earned money that now begin to go to work hard for you. That also entails managing. How do we manage what we have? And especially managing debt. All too often in the African-American community, we spend as quickly as we earn and increase our debt and liability. And the Bible tells us to owe no man. Now, what he's talking about there is that do not become enslaved to someone else, where now you're working in order to pay somebody else. So now you're not your own person. Okay? You belong to someone else. And that debt can be called in at any time, and it can wind up putting you what we call indentured servitude or a form of financial slavery. So we'll
talk
about
so
those.
True.
And, yeah.
Hey, I tell you what, our time is drawing down here. Give us some time of the event today and encourage everyone to come on out and be a part of what you're doing.
Well, today at Zion Chapel, we're having our Blueprint for Financial Success from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. today. And it will be held at our location at 1004 North Jefferson Street. That's in Lancaster, Texas. Okay. And it's open to the public. We'll be passing out a complimentary, or in other words, a free workbook. It also includes free lunch. The workshop, as I said, is being presented in conjunction with the Financial Services Division and a financial services professional, a gentleman by the name of Elliot Javon Ricks, who is with New York Life Insurance and who has a world of knowledge and experience in helping people to not only identify, but to put a plan of action in place, and then to help people actually begin to implement that program and to make the modifications necessary to succeed. If you want more information, because there's still time for you to come, you can call me at 214-900-4179, or you can call the church, which is 972-218-9789. And again, not only are we providing this workshop, but this workshop can be made available to any church or any nonprofit group who wish to empower people by helping them to not only become a member of the family of God, to increase and enrich their faith through sound biblical teaching and preaching, but also to empower them financially so that they can take care of themselves, their families, and contribute to the ministry as we advance the kingdom of God. So join us this afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. at 1004 North Jefferson Street in Lancaster for this fantastic workshop. And you can learn how to earn and then get a meal in the process from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. this afternoon. And my number is 214-900-4179. We'd love to see you at the workshop. And if you can't make it, then give me a call and maybe we can arrange for your church or organization to sponsor a similar workshop.
Hey, man, God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Man, what a great time we had this morning with Minister Flemings here talking about the workshops that they have for financial independence and financial security and how to make proper investment. Minister Flemings is no stranger to this network. He comes on here and he has a wealth of information. We enjoy him coming on here. Thank you, Minister Flemings. You're my friend, and I enjoy what you're doing. I encourage you each and every time to continue to do what you do for the Lord and help change someone's life regardless of finances, whatever God laid in your hands to do, brother, because I know that it's God ordained. Because I know life is, brother. We could be doing other things. You could be asleep Saturday morning. It's as simple as that. But you got up to make yourself available to share this the good news that you can be set free from your financial burden. And you gave us the tools, and it's up to us to use it. All roads lead to Zion Chapel, 1 o'clock. Make your way over there and be blessed. And introduce yourself to Minister Flemings. Say, hey, I heard you, and I was encouraged by you, and I come over here to let God minister to me through financial workshop. Thank you, Minister Flemings. God bless you. Hey, I hope to see you today, 1 o'clock.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Brother Ricky.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We got Minister Flemings there. He was on the line. He gave us a financial, some information regarding his workshop that's coming up today. Now, what's going on with you?
Well, basically, I'm just looking at the processes, what's happening in America today, and some of the laws and stuff have been voted in, and I'm not really agreeing with what the Supreme Court has voted in. I'm not going to say anything about it, but I'm just going to hint at it. I'll let you go through with it, Reverend Lewis. You know what happened today, this week.
Yeah, I know what happened, man. You know, that's the law of the land there, man, but it's not God's law. And we
it's
have to, as believers, we have to encourage our young men and women to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, regardless of what society says. Little Johnny, when he go to school, he's still going to be little Johnny when he get there. He ain't going to change his identity because he at school, he's going to be Mary all day. They come home and be Johnny. It don't work that way. So it's up to us as being a head of a household and being Christian men and women to make sure that our young men and women stay to the principle in which they had been instilled from the very youth. So that means that we have to step up.
Well, you know, a lot of things, you know, you see, and you know, you don't really agree with, but you know, you have people in high places, like the scripture said, we are we are bombarded by people in higher places. You know, these people with these high positions, they tend to push other things upon us. You know, and just like Brother Freeman was talking about, you know, like America was founded on slave labor. You work for a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of years until you basically you buy your freedom back or you pay me back. And this same process was born all the way through America. Really, it came from England, and they brought it over here. And basically, America was founded on, you know, you lend money, and you lend me money, and you pay me interest or whatever, and then we square. Once you set your deal together, you pay me back, you basically, you're free. Until
that's
you sign this paper again.
Go to workshops. What Minister Fleming is putting together over there with his church, it's important for us to go to these workshops to be informed and equipped on how to handle our finance, and along with other things too, because we know that God is able to bless us, but we have to give him something to work with. He can do all things, but it'd be better if we had the tools to help work out our financial independence through the grace and the mercy of God, and he makes it available.
Amen. But basically, you know, I was taught that I think it's Malachi 3:16 about you paying your tithes and offerings and stuff, and everything shall be put into together. You know, it's a lot of people not really doing that.
You pay your tithes and offerings, it still ain't managing the money that you got left over, brother. You know, God can't bless no mess.
You know,
you paying your tithe offering, but you ain't managing your money right. You know, God said, wait a minute, I'm going to fix it for you, but if I let you, you know, if you're not doing this here right, then I can do. Remember, Jesus, you know, God gave us that freedom, man. He said, hey, he always asked people, do you want to be made whole? Do you want this? You know, this has to be something we want.
Amen.
You know, but I tell you what, brother, you brought up some great topics, man. We're going to have to discuss this sometime on the network. But, you know, but it's the law of the land now. It's a law that Christians don't agree with. I don't agree with it. But that's just the way things are. That's just the way things are. But we that have been bought with the bloodstained of Christ Jesus, brother, we got to hold up the bloodstained banner. We got to teach our house and our family what does says the Lord. When Jesus asked for a coin one time, they said, should we pay taxes? And he said, give me a coin. He said, whose face is on this coin? And he said, the government, Caesar. So he said, really, to Caesar was Caesar, give to God was God. Well, the law is the law. But we got to still honor God in everything we do.
Amen.
And guess what? God will work things out. Even though things seem like man is in control, but God is really in control.
And he also put these people in the government in control, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fact, too. You know, even though you're a wicked king, you're a wicked ruler, God still puts you over that country to serve his purpose.
Yeah, and it sometimes has to be
because
hard on
God knows it all, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep wondering why is God allowing this guy, this wicked king, to run over this country? Because it was a purpose he wanted her to do. I use Herod as an example. You know, King Herod, you know, he killed all these kids, and you know, but people kept wondering, why did God allow him? You know, because he served God's purpose. And if you go against what God tells you to, you know, wants you to do, and go try to, he'll put strife on you because you let God rule what he's wanted to do.
Brother,
God is all.
Ready to get out of it. We about ready to get out of here, man. We got less than a minute to go. I want to thank you for calling. I like the comments that you rendered today, brother. Well, you get the last word, brother. What do you God laid on your heart that you want to share with me and our listening audience?
Well, Reverend Lewis, I wanted to say that basically in our city of Dallas, we're looking for men to come up to the plate. basically, we want you to state your opinion to our youth. And basically, that's what this show is about. We want men to come back and claim their families. Basically, what the lady was talking about, men abusing their wives. We want men to come up and be strong men of God. You honor your family, honor your wife, honor your kids, and honor the law of the land. We want men to step up and be whole men, men of values, men of honor. Be a wholesome man. Be a ruler. Be a good father. Be a good leader. In fact, we want to be a good show host.
And that is so true. Brother Daniel, we got to get on out of here, brother. And, you know, you said a word there, man, and we're going to hold fast that word. We're looking forward to having you to be a guest on here next week. And we had a great show this morning. We had Miss Wonder McKinley with the organization We Are Survivors. She was on here sharing her ministry and also telling us about her program that's coming on the 2nd of July. So we want to encourage our listening audience to tune in on that program at 6 to 7 on Thursday nights. And also we had Minister Michael Flemings tell us about the financial workshop that they're hosting over at Zion Chapel. And he gave us some contact numbers. So we ask you to follow up on those numbers. If you need to call Minister Flemings, you can reach him at 214-900-4179. That'll be the contact number for Minister Flemings, and you too can make your way over to the financial workshop. And again, thank you to Brother Daniel. You gave some great points on what's going on with society today. But we're gonna pray on those things, and we're gonna work toward those things to the best of our ability for Christ Jesus. Amen. Because God is still in charge. We're ready to get out of here. Close us out in a word of prayer, Brother Daniel, if you don't mind.
Heavenly Father, as we gather today, and we like you to pour out of your blessings on the mass of people of Dallas, Texas, and America. Strict the demon of poverty upon your people. We pray to be prosperous. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for prosperity among the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You've been listening to Free on the Inside. Amen. There is a word for you today. Thank you, there, Brother Daniel, for being our co-host. Thank you for Miss Wonder for sharing her ministry with us. We are survivors. And Minister Flemings, thank you, brother, for what you're doing.
Be free on the inside.
Be encouraged and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And be free on the inside. That freedom comes from God. That freedom is made with to share the things that God has put on your heart. But what you've been doing, it wasn't for you alone, it's for you to share with someone else. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Until next Saturday morning, be free on the inside.
Amen.
Amen.